If you take your Bible this morning, turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter number 3. And I've got about a 2-hour message. I'll try to condense on into about 20, 30 minutes here, as the Lord will help us. Revelation chapter 3, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 7. And I want to read on through the remainder of the chapter. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I'll make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go no more out. I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and have sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Father, today, Lord, we do thank you for the word of God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege, God, to be in this place. Lord, I pray, God, that the blessed Holy Ghost, God, would help us these next few minutes. God, I ask that you'd encourage your people. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help. I pray for every missionary, God, that you'd bless them as they labor. Father, for every pastor, for every worker, God, that's in this place. Father, you'd encourage every heart in these days. Lord, if there be one in our midst unsaved, Father, help them to realize, God, their need today. Lord, they'd come to Jesus Christ and be born of the Spirit of God. Lord, we'll thank you, Lord, today. Lord, for blessing us and helping us, in Jesus' name, amen. I don't have to tell you today that we're in the closing days of the last days. I do believe that we're nearing the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, probably much closer than we imagine, to the rapture of the church. And I don't have to tell you where you labor, and I labor, and anywhere else, as you travel in meetings. You know the mindset of people today that antagonistic, rebellious, against the gospel. Now, I believe if you study history a little bit, there was a time, maybe behind us some distant years, when people seemed to respond quicker or respond more readily to the preaching of the Word of God. I'm talking about sinners getting saved and people get right with God, revival fires burning, and you read about these things, and God moving mightily in the days of Moody and Spurgeon and others as well. We read about that, and we see how God moved mightily in towns, and folks got saved, the beer joints closed down, the ends of iniquity had to close up because there were no participants. Everybody, they got saved, and churches grew just overnight mightily. And God blessed and God moved in an unusual way. And people were responsive to the Word of God. But today, in our day, I don't have to tell you that I haven't found it that way. Amen. And I don't suppose you have either. Amen. I've never had anybody to knock me down coming to the altar to get right with God. You? Amen. Never have. But we live in a day and hour when people's heart is cold and indifferent to the things of God. And even you see that spirit creep in amongst the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see that indifference, that coldness toward the man of God and toward the preaching of the Word of God. We see that today. We indeed are in the last of the last days. And here in the book of the Revelation, I believe the church at Philadelphia, I believe it depicts you and I. Of course, this was literally seven literal local churches these letters were written to. But they speak prophetically to the church dispensation, the church age. And I believe the church at Philadelphia is the true church, God's redeemed people, that are sprinkled throughout the church age. And I will look at some things that would show that. And I believe the Laodicean church is the day and hour which you and I live in. It's the professed church in our day that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ. They profess that they know Him, but in works they deny Him. I want to look at a few things about these churches, but the thought that I want to preach on, this is what God burned in my heart just several weeks ago as we were reading and studying. I'm like you. You ever had any problems with anybody? Have you ever had any clashes with somebody? Have you ever, the best your ability, the best you knew how, you tried to study the Bible and read the Word of God and ponder the Scriptures and pray for the help of the Holy Spirit to help you preach the Word of God. And lo and behold, you deliver your heart and deliver your soul. And lo and behold, up pops somebody that got mad. But yet they say that they love Jesus. They say that they love God. They say that they love the old time way. But in reality, it's not true in their heart and their life. Amen? And I was kind of in this state of mind. Lord, when we're going to quit running into everybody? Why such clashes? Why such battles all the time? Amen. It's just, all the time you just run up against something. Amen. Some of you are looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. If you haven't run into something, just keep going. You will. Amen. And the Lord directed me to these verses, and I want to try to bring the thought, and this is what God put upon my heart. And the reason many times you're neither saved by God's grace and endeavor to preach the Word of God as God wrote the book, we have so much problems because we are Philadelphia preachers in a Laodicean world. And friend, that's what I'm trying to speak about today, as God would help me. Philadelphian preacher in a Laodicean religious world, friend. And there's conflict after conflict after conflict. And it's going to be that way until Jesus spews that crowd out and raptures us out. Amen. And then, thank God, we're going to the place that the Bible said at the throne of God. And there's a rainbow round about it. And that rainbow speaks about the judgment is past and all is peace. But until then, we're going to fight a battle till we get there. This church in Philadelphia, if you will look at it quickly today by way of introduction, this is one of those messages. Once you get the introduction said, the message is about done. Amen. So stay with me if you will. Here in chapter number 3. Verse number 7, the angel of the church of Philadelphia. And of course the word Philadelphia means brotherly love. And we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. He said, write these things, saith he that is holy, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's holy, separate from sinners. He that is true, amen, Jesus is true, Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He that hath the key of David. And he said about this, he said that he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth that no man openeth. Now he's speaking about whenever I see, read that terminology, the key of David, automatically, my mind thinks about Israel. The key of David, amen. And Jesus Christ is coming back to set upon the throne of his father David. Amen. The rightful king of Israel, the king of kings and the Lord of lords. And he talks about here, as he writes to the Philadelphian church, the church of brotherly love, and there's no rebuke to this church at Philadelphia. And as God's redeemed people, he says, I have the key of David. Now, you know and I know that Israel, in this day and hour in which you and I live, in the church dispensation, the Bible tells in Romans chapter number 11, verse number 7 and following, how that God has given them the spirit of slumber. And the spirit of sleep, amen. Their eyes are heavy and they're in blindness today. I'm talking about the nation of Israel. Now, an Israeli, a Jew can get saved individually just like a Gentile can. Say amen. But nationally, as a people, as a nation, they are groping in darkness today and know not Jesus Christ and know not the gospel of Christ and reject the Word of God. They reject the New Testament. They reject the Son of God and they reject you and I as the people of God. He said, I have the key of David. Note what he said. And I'm he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shut that no man openeth. We, the Gentile bride, are the wild olive branch that has been grafted in. They, the natural olive branch, have been cut off. You with me? Amen. And we've been grafted in primarily. The bride of Christ is made up of Gentiles. Amen. Made up of kindred and tongue. I understand the day of Pentecost, 3,000 Jews were saved. I understand the gospel to the Jew first. Amen. I understand that. But primarily speaking, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, is made up of Gentile believers that have received the Lord Jesus Christ, that has done just as our brother preached. We have repented of our sin and believed on the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when he speaks here, he's speaking to the church. I have the key of David. I've got the key to Israel. Amen. And you need not be fretted about that. And God's the one that gave them the spirit of slumber. When they cried, crucify him. Crucify him. We'll not have this man rule over us. Let his blood be upon us and upon our children. They didn't understand the ramifications, I don't believe, of all that God would go on. Jesus said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you together as a hen doth gather a brood, but you would not. Not that you could not, but you would not. Amen. And he said these words to Israel. He said, your house is left unto you desolate. And my friend, when God has left the house desolate, there's no hope for that house. He said, I have the key of David and Jesus Christ, because they rejected him and rejected his redemption. Jesus Christ has cut the nation of Israel that we, the Gentile bride, might be grafted in, and we are the body of Christ. But friend, don't you fret. Jesus Christ is coming again. Thank God for that key. And he's going to open the door to Israel again, and he's going to retain his work with Israel and establish Israel to the glory that he intended Israel to be. Have the key of David. Says to the church in verse 8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. He said, Israel, the key of David. I close and nobody opens. I open and no man shuts. And he turns to you, you and I that are saved, the church of Philadelphia, and he says, I open a door for you that no man can shut. Amen. What about that? He never talks about to the church that I'll shut the door. Right. We read it right, amen, and straighten out some kicks. He said to the church, I open a door. And friend, I say to you in this mission revival, we stand in the last of the last days, but yet with an open door to proclaim the Word of God, to make known the gospel of Jesus Christ, stand for God. Many dangers and toils and perplexities and problems we face, but yet Jesus maintains the open door of the church to preach the Word of God. He's giving us an open door. That's a little strength that's kept my word. That's not denied my name. Verse 9. Behold, I make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. What about that? Amen. Those are the synagogue of Satan. That it said they are Jews, covenant people with God. But God says they are not. He said that they'll come when I will... He said, no, what he said. I will make them, verse 9, I will make them to come. Amen? You study that word, make. I will force them. I will put a hook in their nose. Amen, if you please. And I'll make them to come and worship before thy feet. And I'll make them to know, church, that I have loved thee. That's what he said. We know Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. We know it plainly tells us that in Ephesians chapter 5. When is this going to take place in verse 9? I really believe, and you can disagree with me, you can be wrong if you want to, amen. But I believe this will transpire at the great white throne of judgment. When all the unbelievers stand before God. I believe you and I that are saved will be there as witnesses against them. Now I believe that the Bible does say every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God to the glory of God. Now, far better to bow your knee now and repent in your heart and believe now and confess Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and receive the benefit of redemption. But friend, if we're stubborn and somebody is stubborn and rebellious and rejecting Jesus Christ, the day will come that they'll stand before God and their stubborn knee will bow. The Lordship of Jesus Christ, and they'll confess readily and openly, Thou art the Son of God, to the glory of God. And friend, as God parades that synagogue of Satan, those that said they were Jews and were not, He'll parade them up there at the judge, great white throne of judgment to be consigned to the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. And I believe that crowd will have to bow before you and I that are saved by the grace of God, not bowing to us. But in bowing to the Son of God, we there as witnesses, and they will have to be compelled to admit and to see that God has loved us and rejected this dead religious crowd. See further about this church, verse number 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, also keep thee from thy temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. And this is a tribulation period, the hour of temptation. And he says to this church at Philadelphia, he said, I'll keep you from the hour. Divine deliverance. Amen. We see the display of God's care for the church. Verse number 9, verse number 10. We see divine deliverance for the church. We're going to be raptured out. This church at Philadelphia is going to be kept from the hour of temptation. That's why I say to you, it depicts to you and I, the true church throughout the church age is going to be raptured out. The dead in Christ arise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Here's the divine deliverance that is for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 11, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. We see here a desire. Jesus Christ has a desire for you and I to receive a reward at the judgment seat of Christ. Said here, he warns us really. Says, behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast. I thought about the message last night Brother Ballou was preaching about apprehending that for which we're apprehended for. To lay hold on it, to grasp. Paul did say in the book of Timothy, to young Timothy, lay hold on eternal life. To lay hold, to grasp. Amen. And this is what he's saying here. That hold fast that which thou hast. Unless... no man take that crown. It's a desire for God to bless and reward. God wants us to be blessed more than we ever could want to be blessed. Desire for a reward. And then verse number 12, look at this church of Philadelphia. Him that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. I will write upon him my new name. We see the divine seal of God upon the church at Philadelphia. Now, you and I that are saved by the grace of God, we know that we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Amen. Now, that seal is not a seal like you maybe this summer you've canned some green beans or canned some preserves. Your wife has made some preserves, and it's sealed. That's not the seal that he's talking about. That's not talking about that at all. The seal that he's talking about is a seal like the United States government may use to stamp something. It's like the Postal Service may use to stamp something. It's a seal of authority. It's a seal of ownership. It's a seal of property. Amen. Are you with me? And when you see that seal of the United States government, what that seal is saying, although it's just ink on a paper as far as what you see, what it's saying is everything that the United States government is and has is behind. I'm the authority of this seal. Amen. Tamper with it at your own risk. Amen. That's what it means. And you and I that are saved by the grace of God, we've been sealed. Thank God we've been stamped with the ownership of God. We have the Holy Ghost dwelling in us. And you can't see that seal on me. I can't see it on you at this time. Amen. But you and I that are saved by the grace of God, we have a seal. I tell you, somebody that can see it, I do believe. I believe the devil can see it. I believe the devil knows, amen, that we are children of God. The devil knows, friend. That's what my brother was talking about, repentance, friend. You better rest assured. That low-down, stinking devil, friend, when I was under conviction of sin, and I turned from sin and turned to Jesus Christ, and friend, he lost his grip on my never-dying soul. You better know that he knows that he lost his grip. Friend, here he is. He's put a seal upon us. What does that seal do? What does it say? Verse 12, look, he said, I'll make a pillar in the temple of God, he that overcometh. And we know that faith is a victory that overcomes the world. Our salvation, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 5 tells us that. And shall make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. You and I that are saved by the grace of God, we're sealed. We're stamped the property of God. Bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. And upon your never dying soul, my friend, there's a stamp that says property of God. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And below that sign that says what we belong to is an address set that says New Jerusalem abound and can be nowhere else and wound up nowhere else but the New Jerusalem. That's what he said. I'm forever saved. Forever saved in the grace of God. Eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When he saved my soul, are you listening to me? When he saved my soul in 1976, friend, he set my course just like Brother Blue preached last night. God had purpose. He knew exactly what he's doing. And one thing that he did, thank God, he set a place at the table. He wrote my name down, friend. And the day will come that I, you that are saved, will be in that New Jerusalem. One of these blessed days. I say to you, this is the true church. The real church. This is God's people. The true church within the midst of the professed church. This Laodicean church now. It's Laodicean church. And of course that word means the people's right. This is the people that profess the person of Christ. But yet they possess only the pride of a wretched heart. They profess that they know him. But in reality, they do not know him. Verse number 14, let's look at this quickly. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen. The faithful and true witness, that's Jesus. And the beginning of the creation of God, all things were made by him that are made. So this undoubtedly is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. You know, I've always been amazed at that statement our Lord made. It seems like to me that the Lord would have said, I know your works. I know you're neither cold nor hot. I would, therefore, that thou wert hot. Seems like he would have said that. But he didn't say that. He said, I would. My will is you either be cold or hot. It seems like he would have said, my will be for you to be hot. But that's not what he said. I know thy works, again, verse number 15, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. This church of the Laodicean, of course, the church of the people's rights. This is a church that will be spewed out. At the rapture, it's the church of the Antichrist. It's the ecumenical church. It's the church that has turned away from God. A church that says that we believe in Jesus, but the Jesus they believe in is not the Jesus of this Bible. Amen. And the absolute abound, they're growing leaps and bounds today. This will be the church of the Antichrist. This will be the church of the tribulation period. This church of the Laodicean church. And this religious crowd. And here he said, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. We see the disapproval of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's so disapproved with them that he says, I'll spew you out. Said to Philadelphia, I'm going to keep you from the hour of temptation that shall try all them upon the earth. But he says to this church, I'm going to spew you out. Right on into the tribulation. We see his disapproval. We see further, look at verse number 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? We see the deception of this church. It's Laodicean church. Thou sayest, this is our testimony, I'm rich. Amazing people don't want to come to church unless you got some sort of fancy building. Amen. Or some kind of fancy things. Amen. I'm rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. Nothing. Boy, is that not the religious world of our day? Have need of nothing. See no need of God. See no need of revival. See no need of giving money to send missionaries. See no need to find that place to pray. See no need of the power of God. They see no need to witness to people and try to reach people the gospel of Christ. They're just satisfied with their things. They're satisfied with their jobs and their money and their things and the pleasure and the hobbies, and they don't care. Care. They're deceived. Sad part about it, some of these are independent Baptist churches. Amen. Sad. Their deception. They have need of nothing. Look at the deception, verse number 17, in the middle of the verse. And knowest not. That's why I know they're deceived. They know not what they really are. Jesus said, you knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You know, you can look pretty good on the outside. It doesn't even take a saved person to get a haircut. It doesn't take a saved lady to dress decent. Amen. I mean, you can do the expected behavior and look pretty good and convince some people that you're pretty good. You can show up every time the doors are open. But Jesus Christ knows what's in the heart of every individual. Knowest thou not thou wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked? We see the deception. Then verse 18 always amazed me, this church. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with thyself, that thou mayest see. Verse 18, I counsel thee. My Lord that said, I know thy works. He's not deceived. Amen. Said, I know who you are and I know what you are. And because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out in judgment. But yet to that same crowd, he said, I counsel. I plead. I plead with you. Come, buy me gold tried in the fire. This Bible does say that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He pleads. He pleads. God help me. You know, the easiest thing to do is to get mad with sinners.
The easiest thing to do is get mad with that person that opposes and rejects and tells lies about us. It's easy to get mad and upset and say things that we ought not to say. Amen. But my Lord, having been offended to an nth degree further than you could ever be offended, and lied about more than you'll ever be lied about, He said in His compassion and tenderness, I counsel thee. I'm going to spew you out if you don't repent, but I desire that you repent and come. He pleads with them to come and turn and receive the salvation of God. We see His deliberate seeking. Verse number 20, behold, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. He's not just standing at the door. He's knocking. He's wanting in. He's not just standing over there nonchalant and inconspicuous. It's just, I'm here. If anybody ever decides you think maybe you might be interested in me, I'm over here. No, Jesus Christ has taken the initiative. He has taken the step to advance toward this Laodicean church. And He comes into the door of the church and He begins to knock and knock. He wants in, friend. There's nobody God doesn't want to save. Oh, would you say amen right there? There's nobody. I don't care what they've done, where they've gone. I don't care what kind of religion they're in. There's nobody that Jesus Christ will not save if they'll open the door and allow Him to come into their heart. Nobody. See, it's divine and deliberate seeking. Seeking and advancing toward these people. It says, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him. We'll sup with him and he with me. Verse number 21, we see divine acceptance for any individual. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me. To him that overcometh out of this Laodicean crowd, he that truly will repent and get saved, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Here's the two churches, the Philadelphian church and this Laodicean church. Such a contrast. Such a contrast. I say, first of all, this counseling. Jesus said, I counsel thee. How does Jesus counsel a church that has shut the door? A church that is rich and increased with goods and feel they have need of nothing. But yet they're wretched, poor, and miserable, and blind. How does Jesus counsel? There's only one way that Jesus counsels. That's through the preaching of the Word of God. And friend, you may have wondered, as I have wondered sometimes in evangelistic work, why, how in the world, Lord, did I get to this church? You ever been there? How in the world did I get to this place? That, I mean, nobody believes what I'm preaching, it seems. That nobody cares, and everybody's indifferent, and everybody's cold, and everybody's... How did I get there? Jesus said, I counsel thee, friend. God will send a Philadelphia preacher to a Laodicean church because He's counseling, He's pleading, He wants them to repent. That's how you get in some of the places you're at. Amen. It wasn't your doing. It's His doing. Amen. And then you have the clashes. That's why some people wind up pastoring in the churches they are. And they want, boy, what in the world am I doing here? It's a bunch of devils. Huh? Amen. And if we could get a hold of the truth that God is counseling, God is pleading through our preaching of the Word of God, God longs to save those that will turn, come to Him. Why the clash? Why the problems? Why did the Laodicean crowd so clash against that Philadelphian crowd? Three things I believe we find in verse number 8 and we're done. Latter part of the verse. He said here to the church that I set before thee an open door. No man can shut it. For, the word for means because. Three things. Thou hast a little strength, hast kept my word, hast not denied my name. Three things, three areas, three basic fundamental areas why that Laodicean crowd cannot get along with God's true people and God's true preacher.
Number one, thou hast a little strength. That strength speaks about power. Speaks about authority. Thou hast a little strength, not a whole lot of strength. Jesus Christ had the Spirit of God, the Bible tells, without measure. Amen? Now you and I that are saved, we have the Spirit of God completely as a person, but we have Him in measure. That is, we experience His power and His leadership in measure because we've got a depraved nature. We've got a flesh that we must buffet, we must put down. And I have to confess, there's times that I'm putting down like all to. Amen? Jesus didn't have anything like that. Jesus had no depraved nature. He had no, as I think about the and the message last night, just blessed my heart. Both messages last night. Bless my heart. Amen. But I thought about Jesus. He had nothing to count as dung. But you and I have things that we must count as waste and dung. Jesus didn't have anything to count as dung. He had no nature of sin. Had no appetite for sin. He had no battle with His flesh. He had no sin. But thank God, I'm glad He had the Holy Ghost without measure. Amen. You and I are saved by the grace of God. We were indwelt with the Spirit of God the moment we were saved. Amen. And we got all of the Spirit of God the moment you got saved. Sad reality is He didn't get all of us many times when we got saved. We have a little strength. And that worldly crowd and Laodicean crowd, they can't stand to be around where the power of God is the least bit manifested. They can't stand that little strength. We have a little strength. We got a little power. We got enough power to know the reality of salvation. Amen. We're not trusting the riches, Sister Hall sung this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. For all that I claim is Jesus Christ, friend. You and I that are saved by the grace of God in God's church, friend. We've got enough power to know the reality of being saved by the grace of God and to being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We're not playing a game. We're not playing religion, friend. I've really been saved by the grace of God. No reality of being saved. We know the reality of the working of the Spirit of God in our life. We that are saved by the grace of God. We have the Spirit of God. And we know something. God help us, amen. We know at least something of the movings and the workings of the Spirit of God in our lives. And the energy of the Spirit of God. And the leadership of the Spirit of God. Those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And friend, we know something of the leadership of the Spirit of God. And I'm saying to you, that Laodicean crowd, they've got the programs, they've got the plans, they've got the schemes laid out of what they're going to do. And they cannot stand for the Holy Ghost. Now they disrupt their plans. They get all upset. Get upset. Therefore, you have clashes. We know the reality of the servant's door. He said, I set before you an open door. And no man can shut it. That's what He said. You and I that are saved by the grace of God. God leads us through open doors. Amen. Not just this way. God leads us through open doors. And God burns in your heart. That open door, what God wants you to do and where God wants you. He burns it in your soul. And God sets before you that open door. And you say, my Lord, how in the world can this happen? I don't have any money. I don't have contacts. I can't do this and I can't do that. And God knows all of that, friend. God's not asking you to do all the contacts. God said, friend, obey, submit, and I'll open the door. You and I that are saved, we understand at least something about the power of an open door to preach the Word of God. Amen? He said, no man can shut him. Number two, he said here, and has kept my word. We that are saved, talking about the Philadelphian crowd. We that are saved, we that have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, thou hast a little strength. Number two, thou hast kept my word. Amen. Kept my word. Amen. Amen. We that are saved by the grace of God are dogmatic about the Word of God.
I'm talking about this King James Bible to the English speaking people. We're dogmatic about the Word of God. Some say, you know, it's inspired in the original text, and I don't have any problem believing that. Amen. Amen. Only problem, I don't have one of those. Amen. Come on, talk to me. But I have on this desk today a literal copy of the very words of God. God wrote one book, and we have it in the Word of God. This blessed Bible. We're dogmatic concerning the Bible. Coming up the highway, I was listening to the radio station yesterday. I don't know where it was or what it was, but it's a religious station, and they come on about out of some ministry, and I don't remember who it was, but this caught my attention. Said we have offered in their resources. Amen. They always got resources to help us ignorant folks along. Amen. But they had in their resources said we have 27 different translations of the Scriptures. Now, I don't know whether they were saying they had, you know, different languages. I don't know what they meant in that they had different various languages. If you spoke Spanish, maybe they had a Spanish. I don't know if that's what they meant. But whether they meant they had an NIV and ASV and a blah, 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 and a blah, 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 and a blah, 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 and all that bunch of garbage. Amen. Needless to say, I pushed the button. Amen. But on down the road. I'm saying you and I that are saved by the grace of God, we're dogmatic about this Bible. About the Word of God. We're dogmatic. And not only that, they have kept my word. We're dogmatic concerning the Bible. Much we could say there. But we're also definite concerning the doctrines of this Bible. I've met a lot of people. I'm told they have a King James Bible to fight you over it. That they got a Bible. But you get to preaching the doctrines, what it teaches and what that Bible says. Friend, that's when the rubber begins to meet the road. Amen. I wouldn't give a dime, amen, to fight you over the fact this is the Bible if I'm not going to read it, believe it, by the help of God, practice it, what is written in the book. Amen. You and I that are saved, that Philadelphian crowd that has kept my word. We have the Word of God. And we endeavor to obey the Word of God. Do what this Bible has to do. Has to say. Say amen. Amen. We endeavor to live by this Bible. We endeavor to dress like this Bible says dress. We endeavor to keep our minds pure like this Bible says we're to keep them pure. We endeavor to live in obedience to the Word of God. It's a deliberate obedience. We have kept, Jesus said, not the brethren now, not some preacher said, but Jesus said, thou hast kept my word. We've kept the Word of God. There is a deliberate obedience to the Word of God. You're never going to obey the Bible by accident. You're never going to walk with God by accident. You're going to do very little to no praying by accident. Amen? You're not going to give much money to missions by accident. Amen? Amen. You're not going to bring your tithe in by accident. Amen? But we live by the help of God and the grace of God. A deliberate, on purpose, obedience to the Word of God. Amen. Amen. And we obey and trust God and obey the Word of God. And this Philadelphian crowd, when they began to preach and begin to display and live that life of obedience, that Laodicean crowd gets upset. They don't like it. We have obedience. Then lastly, it says in verse 8, thou hast not denied my name. Not denied my name. That Philadelphian crowd wants to endeavor to give God the glory for everything that they do. Everything that we do. We want to give glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. I get a little bit annoyed. Sometimes in meetings, you can talk about so-and-so and so-and-so. So-and-so had 50 people saved. About so-and-so had 10 people saved. How do you know? How do you know who got saved? I met some that I thought was saved, but I found out later they weren't. Amen? Yeah. And friend, if the preacher got them saved, it won't be long some worldly goat out there get them unsaved. Amen. But if Jesus gets hold to them, I say we ought to give glory to Jesus Christ for anything and everything and all portions of victory that we have in a Christian life. Give God the glory. The crowd has not denied His name. We seek to glorify Christ. And all that we do, we seek to glorify His presence among us. We want to recognize His presence. Give glory to His presence. And shout His praises and acknowledge the presence of God in our life, in our services, in our work, in our ministry. It's all vain and tinkling cymbal without the presence and power of God. That Philadelphian crowd, they won't acknowledge Jesus Christ and His presence among them. And friend, if God's done anything in our heart, give Him the glory. Give Him the glory. My preacher told me when I first got saved, he told me, don't pin your faith on my coattail. I may take my coat off. And I mean, I didn't grow up in a church. I didn't grow up with a Bible and a Christian home. I didn't know anything. I hadn't been saved long. He said, don't pin your faith in my coattail. I may take my coat off. And you know what he did? He took his coat off. Got out of the will of God. I mean, got way out of the will of God. God killed him. That's right. I saw him 3 months before he died, 2 months before he died, at the funeral home of his uncle. He called me to the side. I'd been to see him several times and pled with him to get right with God. He said, Brother Rick, God showed me God's going to kill me because I brought such reproach upon His name. There were tears in his eyes and tears in mine. We wept in that funeral home. Friend, that was in October, December. I'm talking about this man was a picture of health. In December, he was dead. And the chastening hand of God caught up with him. For you and I that are saved by the grace of God, and I believe I'll see him in heaven. But I'm saying to you, our faith is not pinned on a preacher's coattail. Our faith is not pinned in some theological school somewhere. Our faith is not pinned in some ministerial association, some fellowship somewhere. Our faith is pinned in the blessed Word of God and in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. We want to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. God help us to be Philadelphia preachers in the Laodicean world. Brother Hall.